Now, questions, comments, whatever you like. Yeah.
Why people get angry? Why Buddha don't get angry?
Why doesn't Buddha get angry? And why do we get angry? Okay. We get angry because our mind pays inappropriate attention to different things. Okay? And if we look behind our anger, okay, behind our anger, there lies this feeling of me, this conception of me, doesn't there? There's me, there's something that I want that's going to make me happy, and there's somebody that's getting in the way of me getting what I want. So somebody's interfering with my happiness. Okay? So behind our anger, there's this sense of a real me, a real thing out there that has real happiness in it, and another thing out there, usually a person, that, you know, is interfering with my happiness. So that thing that's interfering becomes evil, okay? Becomes bad, hated, despised. From its own side, we see it as something horrible. So, you know, behind the anger, there's all these conceptions of ourself, of all the other parties, of, you know, there being inherent happiness out there, and there being inherent suffering in this other person over here. There's also the idea that my happiness is more important than anybody else's happiness, right? Behind our anger, there's that supposition too. Because if we cherished other people's happiness, well, then the person who's interfering with our getting our happiness, we wouldn't be angry at them if we really cherished their happiness. So behind our anger is the feeling, you know, me and my happiness, that's the most important thing. And then we see that the thing that's going to give us happiness, we feel like it's something solid and permanent and it's going to last forever. And we think that the person interfering with our happiness is also solid and permanent and going to last forever. No. We think that that the thing that we want has its own self-nature of happiness inside of it, and the thing that's interfering with us has its own self-nature of evil and despicability inside of it. So behind the anger, there's all these presuppositions, all these conceptions, you know, and they're all based on what we call the ignorance that grasps at inherent existence. Because what is that ignorance is seeing everything as very, very solid with its own nature, everything very permanent, and that ignorance is especially seeing me as, you know, permanent, and then the self-centeredness jumps in there and interprets everything in terms of me. And so when we have all of that set up, then any small thing is very easy for it to make us angry. Yeah? So that's why we get angry. Why a Buddha doesn't get angry is because a Buddha's eliminated all the ignorance. So from the very get-go, the Buddha doesn't have the idea of there being this big me, you know, and the Buddha doesn't think that inside that external thing there's real happiness inherently, and the Buddha doesn't think, you know, my happiness is more important than the other person's happiness, so the Buddha doesn't see that other person is inherently evil. He just sees, here's some suffering sentient being who's trying to be happy and not finding happiness. So the Buddha, you know, because they've eliminated the ignorance and the seed of ignorance, they don't see things in the same way. They don't see things as having self-nature or what we call inherent existence. So without that, without all that background vision, then there's no reason ever to get angry. Yeah? Because you're not expecting, the Buddha's not expecting external things to make them happy. We are, aren't we? You know, we're always looking outside for happiness. And that just leads us to have so much anger because we can't control the outside. The more we look to external things for happiness, the more anger we're going to have because we can't always get what we want. And that's one of the first things you teach kids, you know. Yeah, when you see a two-year-old, you want my ice cream. And, you know, mom and dad are trying to say you can't always have what you want. Yeah, and we look at the two-year-old and go, wow, that kid, what a brat, you know, crying for their ice cream. They think the ice cream's going to make them happy. You know, look what a big fuss they're making. Ice cream isn't going to get happy. So just be quiet and, you know, play, little kid, you know, stop screaming. But we behave the exact same way, don't we? You know, maybe not over ice cream, but whatever it is we're attached to. Oh, I didn't get that job. The world's unfair to me. World should treat me better. You know, my boyfriend, girlfriend went off with somebody else. That person should always be for me. You know, so we see. I mean, we're like two-year-olds, just with, you know, different objects.
Yeah. Well, how about if not me? For example, you know, if I could be judged like a system.
Like a what?
System.
A system, yeah. You
mean the one being that a personal label and a population label probably quite different.
Mm-hmm.
For example, someone or a group of people really that are really that thing to a population.
Mm-hmm.
For them, there might be a situation at the Middle East, you know, mm-hmm. at a population level. So I think a lot of people get angry.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not because they have a personal self behind that angry.
Mm-hmm.
Something else.
Okay. So when you're talking about injustice or what you were saying, like systemic, something.
No, like a system, not only, you know, you're just talking about it, just personal.
Yeah, but the whole system, like a structural.
Any, you know, practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how about like a whole group? Somebody is mm-hmm. not getting on the way, so somebody is getting on the group's
way. Right,
right. You know,
it's the same thing, whether it's a group or whether it's an individual. There's still the idea of my side in there, yeah? Even if somebody is treating, we're part of a group and other people are treating our group unfairly, yeah? We identify with our group and we think my group is the most important group. Everybody should be nice to my group and everybody who interferes with my group's happiness is an enemy. Okay? But of course the other group thinks the exact same way. I mean, whether it's an individual or a group, like you brought up the situation of the Middle East. You look, the Palestinians want to be happy and not suffer. The Israelis want to be happy and not suffer. They're exactly the same inside their minds, aren't they? Exactly the same. Everybody just wants to be happy and not suffer. What are they doing? They're mutually attacking each other. And the more one attacks the more the other one attacks that one. So what are they doing? They're both creating the cause for more suffering, even though what both of them want is happiness. Okay? It's the same as two people fighting. You know, in fact, I wish Sharon and Arafat were the only two, and you know, because I don't think everybody else really wants to fight. Now, I've been in the Middle East. I don't think that most of the common people on the street want to fight. But the politicians sure do. Yeah? But even if it's not our group, even, you know, we're sitting in here in America looking at the Middle East, and, you know, we could get angry, you know, what are those people doing? Well, sometimes we get angry because their quarreling is disturbing our inner peace. We don't want to have to deal with a world where there's that kind of violence and that kind of explosive situation present, do we? We want to live in a peaceful world. So we get angry at both of them for fighting. You know, like mom and dad gets mad at two kids for fighting. You know? My parents used to get mad at both my brother and I, you know? Not just one or the other. Even though it was always his fault. But, you know, you know, so it's the same, you know, as an outsider. We can get mad at both sides. You're interfering with my peace of mind by making the world unsafe. Or sometimes what they're doing is they're acting contrary to our values. You know, we have values, we have things that we think are the right and appropriate and suitable behaviors, and they're not doing those. You know, so we don't like them because they're not doing it right. They're not abiding by our principles and all our values. And so we can get angry at them even though they're not threatening us personally. Okay. So some people get angry at the Israelis because they say, you know, you're bullying others with your army. And other people get angry with the Palestinians because they say you're doing suicide bombers. And it probably, who you get angry at depends on, you know, which value you have, you know, which thing you think is the worst. Yeah, if you think, you know, armies and governments are bad, then you're going to get mad at the Israelis. If you think, you know, random violence is bad, then you're going to get mad at the Palestinians. But it's, you know, again, according to our own personal thing of what we discriminate. Yeah? So still you have the bias, the attachment that lies behind it.
So all because of our opinion, if we don't have our opinion, no angry, no hate.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we could, that doesn't mean we don't have any ideas whatsoever. I think it's fair to say, wouldn't it be wonderful if they could live together peacefully? That's fair enough, okay? But the opinion where we say, you should do it this way and you shouldn't do that, you know, that's where we really get into trouble, you know? You should stack the things this way and don't stack them that way. Yeah, and you should arrange them this way and don't arrange them that way, and you should think this way and don't think that way, you know? And so, I mean, we all of the time get attached to our opinions, don't we? You know, our way of doing things. Then we get mad when people do things different way than we do. When I took my full ordination in Taiwan, and I learned when I was there, you know, I was washing my clothes. We had to wash our clothes outside with just a brush and some soap. Well, one nun, a few nuns from time to time would come by, and they would show me how to wash my clothes because I wasn't washing my clothes right. You know, there was a certain way that you were supposed to use the brush, and I wasn't using the brush that way. So in their minds, I didn't know how to wash my clothes right. Okay? And so, you know, the first time I was saying, oh, wait a minute, I know how to wash my clothes. Why are you teaching me how to wash my clothes? Come on. But then I realized, okay, this is, you know, somebody's just been taught this and they're attached to their way of, you know, how you scrub your clothes with the brush. So just relax, children. You don't need to, you know, worry about it. You know, they're not really criticizing you. But just even small things like that, you know, how to wash your dishes. And we get so attached to, you know, you got to wash dishes my way, okay? You've got to make the bed my way.
Sometimes,
you know,
it's a worry, you have to
Well, see, this is the thing that I learned when I was taking my ordination. Is every idea I had was always the right one? Yeah?
No, maybe the idea is not my idea, the idea is somebody's idea.
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't work that it's really supposed, for example, you know, getting something.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to get, you know, worry all the night on it. Mm-hmm. But somebody, you know, getting it might be one of that our alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is, you know, it's not an attachment, you know, people right. Telling you, you're supposed to put it, you know, on.
Okay.
So sometimes I think that it's not really an attachment.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on how we're saying it to the other person. If we're just showing somebody how, like your example of how to stack things, and we're just saying, if you stack it this way, it's more stable, it won't fall down. Mm-hmm. We're not angry, we're not attached. We're just explaining one way to do it. And if the person chooses to do it another way, we can't control everybody. Let them do it another way. And maybe the things don't need to be stacked exactly that way. Rather than making one big pile, maybe the other person thinks, oh, it's actually better to make a few small piles. You know, and we get angry because we're attached to one big pile. But sometimes if we just think, oh, well, what would happen if, you know, let's try making three small piles instead of one big pile, you know, and let's see what happens. Maybe it'll work. It may have no space, but you might get other benefits. Because then when you want something that's at the bottom, you don't have to take everything that's on top off to get to the thing on the bottom. So, you know, in another way, it makes it easier.
You know, sometimes, you know, in the Arab condition might be just for example, the same example, if you really don't say, you know.
Mm-hmm. Then you get rid. Then the other person says, get rid of some stuff.
If the person who listening is get mad, your tone has a problem, you get mad by showing people how to do it.
Yeah. But look at it the other way. Sometimes don't people tell you how to do things and you get mad?
Yes, no.
Yeah? And don't you feel when you get mad that you have an idea and they're not understanding your idea?
Yeah.
Yeah? So that's the same thing. If you're trying to explain it to them and they get mad, they feel the same way we do, that, you know, I have an idea and this other person isn't trying to understand it.
So
sometimes it's good just to stop, you know, and say, okay, what's your vision of how, you know, what's your idea? What's your vision? Well, how would you like this to be? And then I say how I would, you know, what my idea is to be. And we see, because sometimes somebody else may have seen something and a way to do things that we haven't seen before. And, you know, and if we stop and actually ask them and pay attention to it, it might actually be something very good, you know, or it might have different benefits in it that our way of doing things doesn't have. Okay, like, let me tell you this example, you know, from when I was in Taiwan doing our ordination. We used to go in the main hall for the prayers, and then there was another hall where we had our lessons. Well, when we had our lessons, first of all, we had to file it into the main hall. And before we filed in the main hall, we had to line up outside the main hall. Then we had to file into the main hall, and then from the main hall, file into the teaching hall. So I'm sitting there going, why are we doing this? Why do we have to first go in the main hall and then the teaching hall? Why don't we just go directly into the teaching hall? It'll save 15 minutes. You know, I mean, I'm American, kind of, you know, got to save time, got to do it. So I'm getting kind of agitated. I mean, I'm there as somebody who's learning, and, you know, and nobody else, of course, wants to hear my idea. You know, I have this wonderful idea, and all my masters don't want to hear it. And anyway, I speak English, and they don't, and, you know. So forget it. But then, you know, once I began to say, okay, you know, I have to let go of my idea and just do it their way, then I began to really see, oh, there's a certain kind of beauty in filing in and filing out. And there's this quiet time where you're just kind of walking and doing walking meditation and being aware of your body and learning to relax your body when you're walking and walking gracefully and, you know, not being in a hurry. Oh, gee, an American not being in a hurry. Maybe this is something that's good for me to practice. Okay? So you see, you know, there was a whole other benefit of doing it that way that I didn't discover at first because I was too stuck in, you know, my way is the efficient way.
Prepare.
Yeah.
We kind of had one.
Uh-huh.
Mike Sunder, okay, like when we were putting the bushes down.
Uh-huh.
Mike Sunder is over there. Her Sunder is over here. Uh-huh. I mean,
yeah.
We had an argument because I said, according to my Sunder, it's over here.
Right. Well, sometimes it's a thing of, you know, okay, tell me how you calculated yours, and I'll tell you how I calculated mine. And maybe it doesn't even need to be in the center. Maybe it looks okay when it's not in the center also. Yeah?
We have several friends trying to buy a house.
Uh-huh.
All too far away. They said, if you live there, there's no far away from you, your work space. They always think you currently is far away.
Uh-huh.
They never think if you move your job to that place, your home is not far away.
Exactly.
Everybody thinking currently.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Different time, different situation.
Right.
But like the center.
Yes. Yeah. But all this is like, it's very good opportunity for us to look at our own mind and how we think, how we hold on to things. How we get so attached to things. Yeah. Can we sit quietly for a couple of minutes? So as we're sitting quietly, just review a little bit what we heard, think about what we said, and think about, like for you, what are the major points that you want to take home with you and remember and use in your life this week? So it'll just be, a few minutes of meditation just to review like this.